seems like sometimes in this old crazy world. I'm thankful that he's right there in the midst of everything that goes on. He's there to help you. He's there to encourage you. He's there to bless you. I mean, as the songwriter said, he's just right there in the midst. Amen. Well, don't you take your Bible with me tonight, please, and let's go to Mark again, Mark's Gospel. And let's go to chapter number 2. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. And as I said, you know, it looks like after we had gone through the book of Mark, that just a little bit of comfort there as far as comfortable, as far as preaching from it. So, and I know we have probably looked at some of this before as far as looking at it and hearing about it, but in Mark chapter number 2, if you look for what we call sort of a synopsis of it, it's Jesus, as he is seen throughout the entirety of this particular chapter, he's doing something for somebody. And every time he does something, as he's doing something, the Pharisees come along and they question him why. I mean, you can just see it as you begin to look at it. They won't know why in the very first part of it, first 12 verses or so. Why can he get by with using blasphemies by saying that a man has eternal life and the only one that can forgive sins is God? Why? Why can he do that? Why did he do that? And then in verse number 13, as you go on, and that's where we'll kind of be at tonight. We'll look at that and see where when he does that, he goes and he has a supper with Matthew. And as he's there at Matthew's house, it's full of sinners and it's full of publicans, which are tax collectors. And as the Pharisees again, they won't know, why is he doing that? Isn't it amazing? I mean, the one of the easiest thing there is to find is critics and criticism. I mean, the world is absolutely full of critics and those that are ready to criticize, say something negative, say something down and out about whoever and whatever. But thank God, I'm glad that Jesus can still answer the critics. Amen? So I want you to look here, if you will, begin reading with me in verse number 13. Verse number 13, Mark chapter number 2. It says, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And then when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us here tonight. Thank you for your word and everything that you have said. I pray now that you just show us some things we need to know, some things we need to remember, some things that we need to practice. And Lord, just give us some direction and some wisdom tonight. Again, give us a heart for those that are lost and a heart for sinners. I pray we'd see that portrayed by Jesus tonight. I pray that he'd come live in our hearts and in our soul, that we'd want to see somebody that's lost come to know the Lord. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to preach to you tonight about why don't you fish in your bathtub? Amen. Why don't you fish in your bathtub? Well, There's a pretty straightforward answer for fishing, not fishing in your bathtub. Some of y'all may. I don't know. Anybody in here guilty of that, fishing in your bathtub? No? Okay. That's probably a good thing, right? But, you know, I got to thinking about this, and as you see the question that Jesus poses in the very last part of this, if you will, when he begins to talk about how that those that are whole, those that are well, those that don't have any sickness or any problem, they don't need a doctor. Do you know that, you know, I've never been down there. I've never gone to the doctor's office unless there was something wrong with me, right? I mean, y'all ever just go by the doctor's office, sit out in the lobby, and they look at you and they say, what's your reason for being here today? Oh, I just wanted to come by and hang out for a while. Well, they'd think you're a nut, wouldn't they? I mean, you don't do that. They say, well, what seems to be your problem? You got a fever? Oh, have you got a sore throat? No. Just thought I'd come hang out in the lobby and see how things are going. Amen. There's never been a day like that. I mean, hey, if you're sick, you go to the doctor, right? I mean, you know, isn't that what most folks say? You go into the doctor's office and they look at you and say, well, what are you here for today? Well, just look at them and say, well, just take a guess. Amen. I'm sick. There's something wrong with me today. I mean, I know that's, they got to narrow it down a little bit. But if you go to the eye doctor, what's probably wrong with you? Well, my toe hurts. Well, they say you're in the wrong place, right? Go to the eye doctor and you got an eye problem. You go to the head doctor and you got a head problem. And you go to the belly doctor and you got a belly problem. I mean, that's just what they do with you, right? Well, hey, that's why I say, hey, you don't want to go fishing in your bathtub. Do you know why you don't want to go fishing in your bathtub? You better go down at the lake. You know why? Because the odds of catching a fish are a lot higher down at the lake than it is in your bathtub. But, preacher, my bathtub's pretty convenient. It's right there at the house. I don't have to drive very far. I mean, I can go in there any time to my bathtub and go fish. You can, but can I tell you the likelihood of catching anything is very low. Unless your bathtub's stocked with bass and brim and catfish and everything else, and I don't think they are. Mine ain't, is it? She won't let it be, right? I'm just telling you, hey, the likelihood of catching anything in there is very, very low, okay? So let's look at this tonight, though, just with that little thought in mind, if you will. And I want you to realize the situation. As I said, Jesus is doing some things in this chapter, and at every turn of doing something, there is a question from the Pharisees. There's a question from the Pharisee. They've always got something. As I said, the critic, man, they're out there, and critics know how to be critical in a hurry. I mean, they got no problem bringing up every little bit of criticism that they can find about any one of us. So I want you to notice this first of all, though. Let's just kind of look at it a verse at a time, if you will. I want you to look at this very first verse in verse number 13. And the Bible tells us here, Jesus went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. I want you to kind of get the picture, if you will, as we open this. I want you to see this idea that is forming here in this part of the story, that you see the start of an opportunity. The start of an opportunity. What I mean by that is you see that there is a multitude of people that are following Jesus around. I mean, there's a crowd that is following Jesus. There is something that has happened. Now we know, and if you look in the earlier part of chapter number 2, you'll see that Jesus has already been teaching and Jesus has already been preaching. And people are beginning to get interested in what he's got to say. I mean, it's not like the other rabbis or religious teachers or leaders in his day. They're not following them around so much, but they're following Jesus as he is out and about. They're They're going to wherever he's going. They're following him. He goes over here to a desert place. They follow him. He goes down by the seaside. They're following him. He goes to town. They follow him. He comes out of town. They come out of town with. They're following Jesus around. And I'll tell you something. There's nothing wrong. Hey, I want everywhere that I go, I'd rather Jesus be there than just about anybody I know. Amen. When I go to church, I love for Jesus. I want to follow him wherever it is that he leads me. So you see, first of all, here's this massive crowd that is following Jesus. I mean, here we go. The first part, as I've said of this chapter, you see that Jesus has healed the man that was brought by four of his friends. They brought him on a stretcher, a cot. I don't know how to describe it, but they brought him to Jesus. And the Bible said that the crowd was so thick around the house, they could not get in at the doorway. They couldn't get in. So what they do? They climbed up on the roof. They tore the roof apart and they lowered the man in there. And Jesus, as I told you earlier, here's the Pharisees. Well, Jesus looks at him and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And that's when the Pharisees, it says that they thought within themselves, they thought, "Who is this man? That he's blaspheming God. Who can forgive sin but God only?" And Jesus, when he perceived what they were thinking, he looked at him and he said, "Sir," he said, "I want you to take up that bed and I want you to get up and walk out of here." And praise God, he was able to do that. Amen. Aren't you glad of that, man, that he can do those kind of things? So that left the Pharisees with kind of their mouth hanging open. But it was so impressive to the crowd that after that, you see there in verse number 12, says immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen anything like this." When you see something spectacular like that, you kind of tend to want to follow it, right? So that's why I say here in the beginning, you see, Jesus has the start of an opportunity. People begin to follow him, and they're looking for something to happen in their life. But not only do they follow him, I want you to notice this second of all, they are fed by him. Hey, they're following him, all right, but they wound up being fed by him. You see what it says in the latter part of verse number 13? It says that he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. He began to give them some spiritual food that they had never had before. They'd seen some things, and now they're hearing some things, and they'd never heard that kind of doctrine from their religious leaders before. Here was somebody in several other places the Bible said that he taught them as one having authority. In other words, they saw there was something different about Jesus, and they just were hanging around to see what was going to happen next. Amen? So I want you to notice, here as this thing begins, it is the start of an opportunity. And I'll say it's the start of a great opportunity. But second of all, I want you to notice as you get down to verse number 14, you see the showing of obedience. The Bible said, and as he passed by, Jesus is teaching and this mob of a crowd is following him. He's going through the city streets. And as he goes, there's a man over here by the wayside by the name of Levi, and we also know him as Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, but we're given both of his names, and that doesn't matter. It just says he's the son of Alphaeus. It gives us an idea a little bit about his heritage. But here's Levi, Matthew. He's over here, and he's the tax collector. He's the local IRS agent. Somebody say amen right there for him, right? I mean, don't we love him? Well, no. Amen. That'd make you want to move out of the neighborhood. If you knew an IRS guy living in your neighborhood, you'd say, "Well, he's watching me. He's watching how much money I'm spending. He sees if I got a new car or improving on my house or what." You just feel like they're watching you, right? Well, here's Levi, and He has that kind of a reputation among his people. In that day, to be a tax collector, you went to the Roman government and you bid on that job. You bought that job, if you will. You had to pay money to be the tax man. And if whoever paid the highest amount, he got to be the tax man. And you say, boy, that's kind of odd. Why do you have to pay for that job? Well, let me tell you, it paid off in the end. Because then whoever came by, came through those streets, all he had to do is say, wait a minute, you've got to pay your taxes. I say, you've got a donkey. I got to charge you for that donkey. I say, you've got a cart with goods on it. Come on, I got to charge you for that. And that's the way that the taxation went. And, you know, it was then as it is now. It didn't seem very fair. And because of that, everybody disliked the tax man. I mean, Levi was not well thought of. He was thought of by his own people. Now, he was Jewish. It was the Jewish people that put out the bids on these jobs. And here Levi has gotten this job. But as doing that, he has got everybody in his family, everybody in his town, everybody in his neighborhood, everybody that he knows hates him and is turned against him. But isn't it good to know that Jesus never turns against you? Amen. I mean, look what it says. Jesus is passing by his way. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. So here is, in a show of obedience, first of all, you see the master's call. Jesus is calling Matthew to him. And then I want you to see the man's counting. I mean, here's Matthew, and he had to make a decision right then. But I notice as I look at it that he did it, and he did it immediately. Listen to what it said. It said, and he arose and he followed him. There's something that Matthew, Levi, has seen about Jesus that has grabbed his attention. It has gotten him locked in him. And there's something that is very satisfying to his soul. Thank God, aren't you glad? When Jesus comes by, he grabs a hold of you and he gets your attention. And when he said, follow me, hey, Matthew just got up. He said, this is going to cost me, but I'm going to follow him. I know that people in this life, when they decide to follow Jesus, it may cost them. But I'll tell you, the payoff in the end is far much better than you'll ever know. Amen. Whatever you do, if you'll do something for Christ Jesus today, oh, can I tell you, he'll pay you. I believe he'll pay you dividends in this life, but I know there's dividends in the life beyond, in the world beyond this world. Jesus is able to pay those dividends. So when the master called, Matthew gave his answer and he closed up his shop. He put up a closed sign. He shut the windows. He locked the door. And buddy, he headed out and followed Jesus. I don't know if there's somebody there getting ready to pay tax. He said, buddy, go on. We're through for the day. I quit. I'm turning in my license. I'm getting rid of this. And don't worry about the tax. I'll tell you, somebody else will come along and take his place. But thank God for that day, Matthew decided to follow Jesus. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that you and I can follow him and he can take care of us. I really think, as I said, somewhere along the line, I believe that Matthew had heard Jesus. I don't know if he'd heard him while he was there in the beginning of this little section, while he's there by that seaside. I don't know if he'd heard him before. I don't know if he just heard him right then. We don't really know. And you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is that he heard the call of the Savior and he obeyed it. At that time, what that means for me and you is this: when Jesus calls, you and I ought to be ready to answer. When the Lord calls, whatever it is, whatever he's doing, whatever he wants, wherever he's looking in our lives, you and I ought to be ready to just do as Matthew did. He just folded up his book, he turned in his badge, and he headed on and decided that he would follow Jesus. Amen. There's a little song that we learned for going over to Mexico, and the little song that the kids sing a lot of times, and it's called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Amen. Y'all remember that little song? "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And at the end of it, it says, "No turning back, no turning back." Can I tell you, when you decide to follow him, here's Matthew. I mean, he was rich. He had a good thing going. He was despised and hated of the people, but it didn't matter. I mean, he kept on getting that dollar, and that's what got him at that time. That's what his interest, that's where his focus, that's where his heart was. But now something has turned it aside. Can I tell you, when Jesus comes by, he'll change what you love. He'll change why you live. He'll change where you look. Thank God, he'll do a change in the entirety of your life. Amen. And that's what he did for Matthew. So Matthew, Levi, begins to follow Jesus. But next, in the next verse, look at this, if you will. In verse number 15, Levi has decided to follow Jesus. And it says in verse 15, "It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house," Matthew said, "Jesus, I'm following you from now on. And I want to introduce some of my friends to you and introduce you to some of my friends. Will you come home with me?" And Jesus says, "You can be sure that I will." And the Bible said that Matthew throws a big party at his house for all of his friends, All the people that he knows. What kind of people does he know? Well, listen to what it says. "Came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. And it said, for there were many, and they followed him." Man, they went down at Matthew's house. Matthew said, "Can I introduce you to a few of my friends?" Jesus said, "Sure." He said, "Over here is Bob, and he's a tax man. Over here's Ralph, and he's a tax man. Over here's Billy, and he's a tax." I mean, he started introducing him to all these tax. I want to tell you something. Everybody hated them too, just like they hated Levi. He said, "Matter of fact, let me introduce you. Here's old Roscoe over here, and he's a drunk." Amen. I mean, here's Jimmy, and he's a shyster, he's a liar, he's a thief. I mean, you know, you just name whatever you want to name. And they were there at the house of Levi. Those were his friends. Those were his acquaintances. Those were those that he knew. And he threw a big party. He got them all in there, and he said, "Everybody, I want to introduce you to Jesus." Amen. Why did he want to do that? He said, "Because he's made a change in my life." Can I tell y'all that I've given up my tax job, and now I'm going to follow this man wherever he goes. Amen. You know what that's the equivalent of today? That's the equivalent of me and you. Hey, getting our lives right in the sight of God and saying, "You know what? I give up my old life of sin. I've quit lying. I've quit stealing. I've quit cussing. I've quit carrying on. I've cut out my running around. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to do right. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to tell somebody about what Jesus has done for me." Amen. I mean, that's what it's like. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ does for people's lives. He makes us different than we were before. And here in Matthew, I mean, this is the only thing he knows. And this is the only people, really, that he knows. I think his family has disowned him. Why? Because he's a tax man. And as I say, nobody liked him. His other family members, "We don't like Matthew anymore. That turncoat, that traitor, he went and bought that tax job, and he's trying to get rich, and he's sticking it to every one of us." They hated him. The townsfolk, "Oh yeah, we know Levi. He's a crook. He takes more taxes than he's supposed to." I mean, they all knew him. But he did have some friends. But his friends wasn't real high, respectful folks. Amen? I mean, listen, this is going to be real spiritual right here. Y'all know that song Garth Brooks sings? I got friends in low places. Amen? Well, that was Matthew. That's where his friends were. Y'all, don't y'all look at me. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? I mean, he had some friends down there in low places. Amen? I mean, he is friends with the cockroaches. He is friends with the mice. He is friends with the snakes. He is friends with the snail. Hey, buddy, he had some low-life friends. Amen? That's what he knew. But I'm telling you now, Jesus has come in. Jesus has made a difference in his life, and he wants them to know Jesus too. I mean, you see that he's got a party going on. And understand this, while this party is going on, as I say, he's got all these people that are in it, but there's a purpose behind it. He's trying to introduce them to the best thing that's ever happened in his life. And what I'm saying to me and you is this, we ought to do the same thing. Well, preacher, you don't know some of my friends. Your friends is like my friends. Your friends cussed, rared, and carried on, and acted a fool, and drunk, and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of friends I had when I got saved. But you know what? They looked at me and they said, there's something different about you. You keep talking about Jesus. You keep talking about church. You know why? Because he changed my life. Thank God he changed my life. Amen? That's exactly what happened in the life here of Levi. There was a purpose behind this getting together. But I want you to notice in that next verse, verse number 16, the purpose of that getting together has gotten misconstrued by the religious crowd, if you will. Look at verse number 16. It said, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it? Why is he eating and drinking with publicans and sinners? Amen? Now, go back to my question. Why do you want a fish in your bathtub? Amen? You can go fish in your bathtub. And you know what? It'll be clean and it'll be sanitary. I'll guarantee you this. Go fish in your bathtub and you won't smell like fish. Amen? You won't have that old stinky fish guts all over you. You don't have that old slick, slimy, whatever it is on them fish. It won't get on you. Amen? Some of y'all ain't never been fishing, let me tell you. I don't know how it happens, but you go home, or me go home, and I've got slicky, gooey stuff all over my britches. My hands smell like fish. I mean, if I'm on a boat, I can't even walk because I feel like I'm wobbling all over the place trying to get my legs back. I'm just telling you, hey, when you get out on that lake, you get out on that body of water, you get in the river, hey, there's a whole lot different thing than fishing in the bathtub. Fishing in the bathtub, though, it's clean. Now, you don't catch nothing. But you can say, I went fishing. Amen? Huh? I mean, that's about the way some of us do. I mean, hey, you're not going to catch anything in the bathtub. What do you mean, preacher? You've got to go where the fish are. Amen? You know what Michael Jordan said as far as basketball goes? Michael Jordan said, now, for those of you who don't know, Michael Jordan was a famous basketball player, okay? He said, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Amen? You miss every shot that you never took. What are you talking about? What I'm talking about is you don't know who God could work in whose life if you'll just go and try to tell them about Jesus. Well, they won't listen to me, but I'm telling you, you don't know. You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what they're thinking. You ever done that? I know a guy the other night, we was listening to a preacher talking about his daddy. He said his daddy was a truck driver. He said his daddy drove a truck from here I think it was down towards Savannah, it seems like. It was a long distance truck drive. And he said he went many trips during the week, every week. He took this trip, same route, same place, drove for this place, and they drove materials down to this place. He said his daddy was lost. He said, my daddy went driving down whatever highway this was. He said, and on the side of the road, on a tree over there, there was a sign that said, why not try Jesus? And that's all the sign said. That was it. Why not try Jesus? He said, my daddy would go driving down through there. He'd look at that sign, and he said it just started getting to him. He'd look at that sign. He said he got aggravated with the sign because it said, why not try Jesus? And man, he said he'd get mad. Get mad. He said, he'd go home. He said, matter of fact, he got to when he would go by, he knew he was there, he'd turn his head and drive. So he wouldn't have to look at that sign. He said that sign was still there, and it was still saying, why not try Jesus? He said one day he was going down the road, and there's that sign. And he said all of a sudden it just hit him. He pulled over on the side of the road and said, okay, God, I'm ready to try Jesus. He said, I've tried everything else and I can't get away from it and it won't let me go. Can you imagine? You don't know what's going on in a person's heart. You don't know what message they've heard. You don't know what testimony that they've been around. You don't know what you've said that gets into their heart and goes to bed with them every night. You don't know what's running around up here that they're thinking and saying, I've got to do something. My life needs to change. And they hear some dear, sweet saint of God get up and say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus done for me. Amen. And you don't know. You and I have no idea what that means, right? But aren't you glad Jesus can make a change in anybody's life? Jesus is walking by. And listen, you'll find this story in three of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell this story about Levi. And in every one of those stories, Jesus walks by where Levi is. You know what they all record? Jesus says two words to Levi. Follow me. That's all he says. Follow me. And the Bible says he closes up shop, shuts down the tax office, and goes out and follows Jesus. What I'm telling you is it doesn't take a great vocabulary. It doesn't take a college degree. It doesn't take a theology lesson or two or 15 or 20. It just simply takes somebody that knows the Lord and can tell somebody, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Amen? And here's Matthew, Levi, if you will, trying to tell all of his friends what Jesus has done for him. And as he does, It riles up the religious crowd, right? I mean, I want you to notice the scathing sentence of the crowd here that's all tore up, those that are offended. It said, when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and the sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? How is he doing that? Why is he doing that? I want you to notice, ma'am. What did they see? They saw Jesus with a bunch of sinners. Now, I'll tell you this. People might see you sometimes with a bunch of sinners, and you know what? Folks will talk. Amen? I told y'all, I think I've told you several times, story about me and Brother Larry Underwood going out on visitation. I mean, here I was. I was just a young preacher. I wasn't very old. Brother Larry, we met up at church over, he was our pastor at the time. I met up at the church and Brother Larry said, you gonna go with me? I said, well, where are we going? He said, we're getting a car. And I said, we're getting a car, we'll go up on Rossville Boulevard. We go up to the, I don't even know the name of the place. I mean, the Frosty Mug or the Ugly Duck or whatever. I don't know what it was. But we go, and I look at him and I said, this is a beer joint. He said, yep. I said, what are we doing here? He said, we're going in. I said, you sure? He said, yeah, we're going in. We got to go talk to somebody. And I told you, man, when the car stopped, I opened the door. I mean, I'm out like this looking around, trying to see who's seeing. Brother Larry's standing straight up. He's walking up. I'm looking around like, looking up Rossel Boulevard up and down, making sure nobody sees me that knows me. I mean, we're going, and we go in this beer joint. Son, it's dark, and there's Hank Williams or Honky Tonky or somebody on the music, and I'm like, oh, what are we doing in here, you know? And we needed to see a lady that needed some help. And Brother Larry wanted to go in there and talk to her and check with her and see what, and I'm like, man. And I'm in there the whole time. I'm looking at all them people. Amen. I want to make sure there ain't a deacon or two in there, right? I mean, I'm looking around, what in the, whatever's going on, right? So we get through and go out to the car, and I look up, Brother Larry's grinning. He said, that's kind of tough for you, wasn't it? Tough? That ain't even the right word for it. I'm embarrassed, you know, from doing it. But can I tell you, when you're doing something, and somebody, if anybody had seen us, I'm sure that is, oh, I seen Brother Steve, Brother Larry up at the liquor store, whatever, you know. Amen? But listen, they're going to talk anyway. They're going to talk. I mean, these guys said, why in the world is Jesus eating and drinking with this crowd? Amen? I mean, they look what they saw some things, and then they said some things. What is he? What do y'all think he's doing? As I said, they said those things there. I want to tell you, when they got out of there, they probably said a whole lot more than that. Well, let us, I believe they probably went down there and they said, oh, brother Pharisees, let us give you a report. We've seen this man, Jesus, and he is over here at a tax collector's house, and there was a crowd of sinners and lost folks, and he's eating with them. Amen? Can I tell you, I've been there and eat with sinners before. I've been there and sat at the same table, but I want to tell you something. I wasn't doing what they was doing. And I wasn't acting necessarily the way that I was trying to present something to them that they needed. They needed to know that Christ loved them and that he was the only hope in their life. So you see this scathing sentence from those that were the offended. Oh, my goodness. We can't believe that Jesus, well, you might as well believe it, he was there. But listen, don't you notice this last of all? The single statement that Jesus gives to those who are the overcritical. Look what Jesus says there, verse number 17. And when he heard it, they were talking to the disciples, but Jesus overheard it. He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He might as well have said, y'all go home fish in your bathtub because you ain't going to catch nothing. You're not interested in catching anything. All you're interested in is telling your buddy, I went fishing yesterday. Oh, really? Well, how was that? Well, I didn't catch anything, but I got to go fishing. Amen? You don't tell them you went to the bathtub because they'll know you're a knucklehead, right? Huh? But let me tell you this. That's the same thing. Well, I tried to win, folks. Where'd you try to win? Well, I was going to win them down to church. Hey, you're in a crowd of folks. You're preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir. Can I tell you something? They're out there. Amen? They're out there. I'm telling you, folks, you and I need to realize there are folks that need to be saved. Now, there are some of them that do come in this church building, obviously. But I'll tell you, me and you need to get some more in here. Amen. And as we bring them in, I believe the Lord can get a hold of them and change their lives because that's what he does. He told them, he said, I come. I didn't come for all those that didn't need a doctor. I came for those that were sick. Those that are whole, you don't need to go to the doctor. But those of you that are sick, you need to see a physician. You need to see the doctor. You need to get over there to the hospital. You need to go. Listen, you know what Jesus really said? He said, all of you are sick. But I want you to all know that you need salvation. He said, I am the friend of sinners because I can bring forgiveness for their sin. Amen. Aren't you glad to know that today? I mean, I'm saying he didn't come to be like them. He came to save them and change their lives. Do you know that today, that Jesus came to change your life? Amen? Oh, listen. You and I ought to be praising him, thanking him for what he has done and what he can do in our lives. Amen? Has he done something for you? Has he spoke your heart? Has he involved you? Has he got your attention to where, hey, you don't need to go fishing in your bathtub. Get out there on the lake because that's where the fish are. Get out there instant amongst them and tell them about Jesus. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would, tonight. And I want you to know something, friends.